This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And good evening, you are in the Spirit Lounge, and yes, the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof are all present and correct.
Woohoo!
We're all present, I don't know about correct.
Can I tell you something really sweet I saw on the train today?
What?
You know how when you're going about your daily life and sometimes you want to just freeze frame something that you see because it just is a lovely moment. And I was on the train minding my own business and these two Asian people came on with a little chihuahua and it had a little coat on. I'm not quite sure how it would be cold when it was 31, but never mind. And so I was kind of focusing on the chihuahua being a bit of a doggy lover. And then I looked up and it was so cute. They actually were two Asian women and one was obviously the butch and one was obviously the femme and they were holding hands and they were standing in the train and I just looked up and I thought if I could just take a photo of that, it was so cute.
And they had their baby.
It was so cute. I love moments like that. That's what life's about.
Now, we've got to send out a big hug to Lindsay.
Do we?
Yeah, she posted on Facebook that it's Hug a Lesbian Day and you're lucky, you get good luck. Now, I think she only posted it because she wanted a hug. So, Lindsay, we're sending out big hugs to you. I did actually get a hug and give a hug to Anastasia because I thought, well, I might as well go for it just in case. I don't want to miss out on, you know, good luck.
I think we should make that an official holiday, don't you?
I think so.
And then we can all run around hugging each other.
Oh, I don't know about that one. Anyway, what have we got tonight?
Oh, let me put my glasses on, then I can tell you. Oh, there we go. So we've got Tash Holmes with us again about her new album. She's going to be joining us much later. And we're catching up with two of our very, very favourite people because they're regulars on our show, Jenny and Lisa, who, of course, are from San Francisco, and they've been trundling around the world for a year. We followed them the whole way. They're now back in San Francisco with the next step of their journey, and so we caught up with them previously on at the weekend, actually. So we're going to kick off. This is a beautiful band, and this is a beautiful track, and it's for this kind of a day. This is the Lighthouse Family. He wrote this about Route 1 in California, so imagine driving between LA and San Francisco with the sea on one side. This is called Ocean Drive.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
So, in an effort to connect the lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender community on a global scale, Lisa and Jenny from San Francisco left their 9-to-5 jobs, picked up a video camera and embarked on a year's trip through 16 countries in Asia, Africa and South America to find the super gays. These are the movers and shakers in the LGBTI world who are striving for equal rights and greater acceptance in the developing countries where gay life is still outlawed and is often punishable by life imprisonment or even death. Their popular blog, The Out and Around, Stories of a Not-So-Straight Journey, shared the stories of these amazing GLBTI people who are creating change and bringing hope around the world. Now, we've been following Jenny and Lisa throughout their journey during 2011 and 2012, and we last spoke to them back in August when they just returned home to San Francisco. So, girls, welcome back on the show. We've missed you. How are you?
We're doing great. We're loving life in San Francisco and being home. And this weekend is my birthday. We're out biking and hiking, so doing all the things that lesbians love.
It's so, not just lesbians that like that.
So how has life changed for you since you got home?
Well, life is the same and it's different. You know, obviously we both come home and we're settled down now in our house and we're both back to our 9-to-5 jobs, but and so in that way it's the same. But I think it's different the sense that we feel like we have a mission to fulfill, and that's to tell the stories of the super gays. And it's also different because I think when you take time to travel for a year, it really makes you appreciate a lot of things that you took for granted before.
Hmm. You haven't got itchy feet again.
No, I think about at least once a day we say, oh, we're so lucky to live in San Francisco, in the U.S., in the developed world, and, you know,
I would imagine it absolutely puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does, definitely.
Now, you've always kind of said that one day you'd really love to turn your video footage to get it made into a proper documentary. What's it like trying to sell that idea to a filmmaker?
Yeah, we got home and we were really fired up about our 120 hours of footage. And we just kept pitching it to people and we were like, thrilled that we had like four different filmmakers who really wanted to do it. So, I mean, to think that, you know, we'd never done this at all and you know, that several people felt compelled that this could be a success really gave us a lot of confidence in the footage and in the story. And it was a really exciting time and place to come home to. And I will also add that as non-filmmakers, we really understand now, you know, how much passion, how much effort filmmaking takes. So we give big props to all the documentary filmmakers out there because it is certainly not something you do to make money.
It's usually a labor of love, isn't it?
It's definitely labor of love.
So what, at the end of the day, you've chosen a producer and director, Lauren Fash and Susan Graham. So why were they the right choice for you?
These two, they're just an awesome couple. They're a lesbian couple. The filmmaker just graduated from USC Film School. They're emerging filmmakers. They had put together a film, Quiet, which discusses LGBT rights nationally. And they were just so enthusiastic about doing it. And we knew that they could do it in a scrappy way. These girls have cut every corner to not cut quality, but get a lot of people involved in the project and developing and giving their time, you know, voluntarily. And if you get a chance, I mean, really what sold us is when we watched their film Quiet. As Lisa mentioned, they have one film out there, and it's won a bunch of awards around the festival circuit. And it's about it's based on a true story of an American lesbian couple where one person ended up in the hospital in a coma, and the other woman had to lie and pretend to be her sister in order to see her. So it's about that story, and it really moved us, and it was very well made.
Yeah, I watched the trailer, actually. I'd really like to see the whole movie. It looks very moving.
Tell us about Kickstarter and about the fundraising you're doing for this documentary.
Yeah, Kickstarter is a website where you kind of just lay it all out there. And the budget the minimum budget that they came up with was $30,000 to make a film.
Wow.
So actually we're at $13,000 right now. And it's a little bit of a gamble. So if you don't hit $30,000, we actually don't get a dollar towards the film. But that's just to ensure that we have enough to actually complete the film. But you know, we have 48 more days, and we're getting very close to our goal. And I think the reaction to the trailer has just let us believe that this film can make a big impact. And I think people are seeing that and being very generous.
What sort of people are giving to the fundraising to make this documentary?
You know, that's a good question. We asked the same question when we looked at the list. You know, some of the people we do know, they're within our community, family, friends, people we've met through the trip. And then we've also been very impressed and surprised by the amount of people who we don't know that have, you know, maybe a friend of a friend passed them or they saw it through Kickstarter. There's a lot of people just browse through Kickstarter to see films and other art projects to support. So it's been a mix of people we know and we don't know. And, I mean, we really hope that this film touches both the LGBTI community as well as the community at large, because this film is just about anybody who's ever been discriminated for being who they are.
Yeah.
We got an email this week from a woman in Kenya who donated and just said, you know, people don't understand what's going on here. And the more visibility we have in films, the more people understand. So,
wow.
I mean, that was like an incredible $15 donation that let us know that we were on the right path.
That is awesome. That is truly awesome. Now, you're on Spirit Lounge and Joy 94.9, and we're talking to our intrepid travellers, Lisa and Jenny, about their year's trip around the world, which is now being made into a documentary.
Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
Now, you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we're talking to our intrepid travellers, Lisa and Jenny, about their year's trip around the world, which is now being made into a documentary.
Jenny, can you tell us, how long will it take to actually produce the documentary after you've finished your fundraising effort?
Yeah, so if we can get this money raised in the next 50 days or so, we believe that we should have a film in the fall of this year. So we're super excited about that.
So we'll see you at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival this time next year then.
Yeah, we would love to be there.
We're super excited about that.
We'll have to. What to do is we need to just raise a little bit more money than the 30 grand, and that can bring you over here.
Yeah, we're saving our vacation days for sure.
But, you know, I mean, following you for the year that we did, I have to comment that, you know, the quality of your blogs and clearly the quality of your footage, you know, is exceptionally good anyway. It's a fabulous way to capture your personal journey and the amazing people you met. What else do you want the documentary to achieve? How can this documentary really help the gay movement especially back in the countries you visited?
Well, you know, right now, I mean, there's so much going on. And I mean, just locally where we live, there's a big, our president just backed Proposition 8 being struck down in California, allowing same-sex marriage in California. Yeah. So, I mean, just for our privileged life here in California, we're seeing that times are changing. But more importantly, around the world, in the developing world, things are changing for the better. And that's the piece that we really want people to understand. I mean, all of us are involved in the gay movement. You can't not be if you're out and you're gay and you're wanting full equality. But the developing world is really needing a hand from us. And I think that's what our film does. Is, you know, we've shown the trailer and people are like, wow, I had no idea that in Nepal, their Supreme Court is so progressive. Or in Argentina, they have such great rights for transgender individuals. So that's what we want people to understand. And what we really like this film, too, is we'd like to get a translator subtitle in different languages so that we can share it with the communities that we visited around the world. And actually, one of the folks we visited in China, he runs a LGBT community group there. He actually stayed with us last month, and we were talking to him about this film, and he's very excited to share it back with the community. We were talking about how to get this subtitle in Chinese.
Wow. That sounds fabulous. Seriously, we talked about coming to the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. Do you have any plans to get the documentary out there around the world?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we can't oversell ourselves quite yet, but we feel confident because the filmmakers who took over this project just did a 25 screenings of their own film and different international film festivals. They've really given us the confidence to think that we can do it globally. And, you know, we're really not trying to make a buck. We're just trying to get it distributed far and wide. So that's our big hope.
You're not going to give up your jobs and become filmmakers.
No, we won't. It's very, very hard. We have to say that. And, yeah, we'll keep our day jobs. This is definitely a project of love.
Now, you guys were just listed in the top 25 most significant queer women of 2012. Congratulations. How does it feel to be listed on such a list?
Yeah, that was quite a surprise to us. You know, again, we're very ordinary people, but just with extraordinary support. So, you know, everyone that was on that list does incredible work. And I think it just goes to show that, you know, you can be very ordinary and do something extraordinary. And I just feel that we were lucky to have the opportunity to do that.
Well, and you also came up with the original unique idea, because I don't think really it's been done on that scale, has it, the way you did it? And so, you know, all credit to you. So we have to ask this question. How are the wedding plans going?
They are. Should we tell the whole story?
Yes,
We booked our venue, finally, about 2 months after we booked the venue. It actually burned down. There was an electrical fire in the lodge we wanted to No joke. It was like it was all over the San Francisco Chronicle, our main newspaper. It was like Lodge burns in fire. You're like, oh my goodness. As this gay marriage isn't hard enough.
I hope you hadn't paid a deposit.
Well, we did, but hopefully it'll be rebuilt in time. So we're crossing our fingers. We're going to actually go up and visit it next weekend and check it out and see how they're doing in the rebuild. But they have a couple months to get it back together.
I think you better go and help. I think you should take some bricks along and some tools.
Take your hammer with you when you go up there.
So what, remind us of the date again, girls.
We're getting married June 8th.
June 8th.
But I think it's just it's also very exciting that... our Supreme Court will make a decision about marriage in California probably a couple weeks after. So this will probably be just the first of many weddings.
Many.
State, hopefully federal as well. So Jenny has a couple of dresses. Yeah, I'm sure they'll all be models.
Now, Joy's frowning at me. No, Joy, several weddings to the same person.
Yes, but I mean, right. Two weddings I can understand, but several?
Well, look, if we start saving up, we can go and invite ourselves along to one of them, shall we?
Well, I'll be over there in June, but not till the end, so...
Well, girls, it's been absolutely...
Save your money for the film premiere.
Yeah, okay. All right. Good deal. It's been great to talk to you again. Now, for our listeners, if you would like to have a look at the girls' website, it's outandaround.com, and on the front is the trailer. And if you've got a spare dollar or hundreds, then sponsor them, because this is a fabulous, magnificent project. So thank you, girls.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Become a Joy member today. It's the coolest gay club in town. 1-300-JOY-949.
And you are on the Spirit Lounge with the Beast, the Pom and the Poof. And that track was Outcast by Kerry Roberts. Now, there's exciting news in my home country of Aotearoa.
Drum roll.
The move to legalise gay marriage. The move to legalise gay marriage is a step closer.
Woohoo.
I know. The little committee that had to look at it. And all the submissions against and for have now sent the marriage amendment bill for its second reading on March the 13th.
And?
Well, now if it gets voted on, I don't know what happens then.
So is that the last step?
Well, I think so. I think it's pretty close.
So this month, New Zealand could have legalised
gay marriage.
Do you
think they'll do an outside broadcast from my wedding in New Zealand?
Well, I think you need to start planning.
I think they should.
Start your planning. Get all
they
the
pay for us all to go to New Zealand.
I tell you what, Mr. P and I will come, okay?
Yes, we're going to do an outside broadcast, so you'll have to do it.
Mr. P can be your page boy.
Oh, can you imagine?
No, I'd like him to be the bridesmaid. You can be the best man, he can be the bridesmaid.
Okay, we'll have a role reversal and we'll cross-dress.
No dresses, darling.
No, I said we'll cross-dress. I didn't say I was going to wear a dress. And Andrew will be wearing a very angry dress.
No. I can wear a suit, couldn't I?
He could be the bridal.
Well, that's very exciting news. That's very exciting. Now we have more news. There is a guy who blogs in the US. He is absolutely fantastic writer. He's gay. He's Catholic. He's one of the most highest profiled kind of bloggers in the States. And anyway, his latest contribution is In Retirement, Benedict to Live with Toy Boy Personal Secretary George Genswein in the Vatican. He's decided, Sullivan that is, Andrew Sullivan, the author, that the Pope's definitely gay. And so he spun this story. It's absolutely fabulous. Personal Secretary Archbishop George Genswein will continue to be the former Pope's personal secretary in addition to working for the new Pope. There have been rumours about Genswein's sexuality for years, dubbed the George Clooney of the Vatican by the Italian media. He once appeared on the cover of Italy's Vanity Fair. While the theories of the alleged love affair are likely to continue, no one has produced any evidence of the supposed relationship. And his blog is absolutely marvellous. He's made claims following the announcement that Benedict will not go into hidden retirement, but will continue to live with George in the monastery. They're having a monastery converted inside the Vatican grounds, which is apparently a first. And this is what Pope Benedict has asked for. So it's obviously passed.
Because I've never had a pope actually stay alive.
Well, they've never had a pope step down, still step down and still with a pulse.
Know, they become non-pope when they die, so yeah. They've got to deal with what do they do over. With this pope.
I know, and I think he's writing the rule book as he goes along, this guy, you know. And apparently he's claimed that his almost unprecedented resignation came about simply because of his physical infirmity in the face of what appears to be a growing vortex of sexual and financial scandal inside the Vatican. So there's a lot of speculation about the fact that all of the sexual things and the financial things, all this speculation, actually there's probably some truth in it, and he's not coping with this because it is true, and it's going to come out while he's still Pope, excuse the pun.
But there is a lot of talk about a gay mafia within the Vatican.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holding a lot of power.
Yeah, I know. And Andrew Sullivan goes on to say, we now realise he's going nowhere. He's staying within the Vatican walls, retaining the title His Holiness. He will keep white robes. His full title will be Pope. How do you pronounce that, Miss? Emeritus.
Emeritus. Sounds like the airlines, really.
It does. Yeah, Pope Emeritus. Fly
He's
me.
He's going to fly around the world with George.
Oh, dear. So he doesn't have to wear the clerical black, and he doesn't have to return to the title of Bishop of Rome, which apparently they should. And he won't disappear into living in a monastery in Bavaria, which is, I don't know why Bavaria. So he's going to be a shadow pope in the Vatican, and apparently this was his decision.
Will he still have his Pope Mobile?
I don't know. Should we write and ask him?
I think so. Ask his blogger.
Well, this guy, Andrew Sullivan, if you ever want to giggle, look him up, Andrew Sullivan, the blogger in the States, because he's on the ball. He's a really good writer, and he takes something and makes the most fabulous stories. So, yeah, this is the latest one. Now, have we got time for more news, Mr. P?
Just one more story. You've got time for one.
Should we talk about Clint Eastwood?
Oh, of course we should.
Because my estimation of Clint Eastwood has just rocketed, I have to say. Now, Clint Eastwood, he's 82 years old, bless him. And he is a Republican, and it is known, if you know anything about politics in the US, you know, the Republicans are not the most gay-friendly party. And bless him, Clint Eastwood has called upon the US Supreme Court to remove the ban on gay marriage in California. It's known as Prop 8 there. He's joined more than 100 Republicans in signing a Supreme Court-bound brief in favour of allowing the LGBTI people to marry again, because, of course, they did, then they took it away. Now he's asking them to bring it back again. He appeared on Ellen's show in September last year, and he said the condition of society right now, with the high unemployment rates and the tremendous debt we're increasing and the government spending, we think there'd be many more worthy issues to think about rather than worrying about gay marriage. And he was quoted in GQ magazine as saying, we're making a big deal out of things we shouldn't make a big deal out of. Just give everybody the chance to have the life they want, which I think is fabulous. Well said, Clint.
Go, Clint.
Go, Clint Eastwood. Anyway, that's our little newsy bit for today. We won't do any more Pope bashing for one night.
No. Well, not till next week.
Now, actually, before we do anything else, I would like to just say a little dedication to my friend Charles.
Hi, Charles. Charles.
I hope you're listening, darling, because Charles listens to us every Tuesday between 8:30 and 9 o'clock as he drives home, having done his swimming training with the Glamourheads.
Well done, Charles. Mm.
So if you're listening, happy birthday for yesterday, darling. It was lovely to see you on Sunday.
And here's a song that Bertie's going to...
Oh, is this my song?
Yeah, this is your song.
I don't have to sing it, do I?
No, but this is...
I thought you were going to send this one out as a little dedication.
I could dedicate this. I dedicate this to my lovely friends, John and Charles, our favourite boyfriends in Melbourne. And this is the beautiful Tony Braxton called Spending My Time With You.
Great shows. Fun people. Joy 94.9.
That track was Zoom Zoom by Tash Holmes. Tash is a Christian lesbian singer-songwriter based in Sydney, and we're very excited to welcome Tash back onto the Spirit Lounge, fresh from the launch of her new self-titled album. Welcome to the show, Tash.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So I didn't make it up to the album launch in Sydney. How was it received?
Oh, we had a great night on Friday night. We had a great turnout, and the main thing we wanted for the night is that people had good fun, listened to good music, and it was awesome. I couldn't have wished for a better night, actually. We had a great lineup of artists, which all were kind of different but very rich in their own ways, and yeah, it was an awesome night. I'm very happy.
CD Baby is hosting your album, and their description of your music is a fusion of Coldplay's driven beats and melodic, soulful vocals of Sarah McLachlan.
Yes.
Are these your main musical inspirations, or what else kind of inspires you when you're writing music?
Well, that description is actually mainly from other people that have commented on, you know, different sounds that I've written and the music that I've done. So lots of people always say that my voice reminds them of Sarah McLachlan, but because I often do quite upbeat stuff as well, you know, with full band and that kind of stuff, people have also said that there's a bit of Coldplay in there. And I love both of those artists. I think they're both incredible, and I've seen them live a few times. But there's so many different artists that inspire me.
Is it the kind of thing from a person who's never ever written a song in his life before? Is it the kind of thing where you only get inspiration from other artists doing their thing and going and seeing bands? Or is it the kind of thing where you might like get some inspiration walking down the street, you hear an interesting noise or an interesting sound?
Yeah, absolutely. I always get inspired when I see live music, for sure, because it's good to do that, because you reconnect with how you can feel on the other side and how, you know, a song can impact you and all that kind of stuff. So I love doing that. But with songwriting, I mean, it's almost like you're constantly looking at things in a different way, and I'm constantly writing things down wherever I am for ideas for songs and things like that. So the cool thing is, I guess, that you can always be, you know what I mean, from your life experiences, you're always kind of writing songs out of that. And hopefully that actually makes an impact on others. So it's amazing. I love it.
Tash, we've just listened to Zoom Zoom. So were you watching Cars when you were inspired to write this, or what was it that inspired you to write this track?
Well, Zoom Zoom is a song that I actually wrote when I was in an all-girl band. So a few of the songs on the album are actually songs that I have written and performed a few years ago. So all the musicians in that track are all girls. And we used to do the kind of gay and lesbian scene in Sydney and Melbourne, and we used to do kind of pub rock kind of stuff. So Zoom Zoom was one of the main songs that people loved. It was pretty much the song that we finished on most nights, and everyone would be jumping around down the front and all that kind of stuff. But it was just a playful, fun song that we wrote. I think it might have been in summer. So we're like, really, really need a fun summer song that people can get into. So there's no real deep meaning behind it, but it was a lot of fun.
So how can people hear the rest of your music? How do we find out more?
Well, if you visit, so I've got a site, tashholmes.com. If you go to that site and you click on the music section, that will take you straight through to CD Baby, and you can download as many of those songs as you want. I'm also on iTunes as well, if people want to do it that way.
Fantastic. And are you an independent artist? Or?
Yeah, currently I'm an independent artist, absolutely.
Oh, look at that, another one on Joy. Oh, look at that.
So, Tash, your next track that we're going to play is called Runaway. So tell us a bit about what was happening in your life when you wrote that.
Oh, I think a lot was happening in my life. I mean, the last time I was on this radio program when I was talking to Joy, I was talking a lot about, you know, the Christian music stuff and coming out of that. A lot of these songs were actually in that time bracket when I, you know, kind of went away from the church and I was kind of doing the secular music stuff. So it was a real shift for me to go from Christian music to secular music, and how do you kind of shift that, you know, that parallel of always singing about God, and then you're like, oh, you've got to start branching out a bit more now. So Runaway, if you heard it, it sounds like a love song. It sounds like, you know, things are not going good in a relationship and you're kind of escaping from that. But I think for me personally, you know, there was a lot of stuff at that time that I was wanting to run away from, and, you know, it kind of came out in this kind of a song. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a listen to it now.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and just telling us a bit about your album. And if you want to find out a bit more, visit tashholmes.com.
Thank you so much for having me.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
And that's another show. We're going to be back next week at 8 o'clock. So don't forget to tune in. And it's goodbye from the priest.
And the pom.
And the poof.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.